بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. My dear respected brothers, if I could ask everyone to please come forward and make your safs while we wait. I'm sure there's many brothers to come in as well. We want everyone to fit in this hall rather than going to any other hall. So if I could request everyone to please make your way forward. Jazakallah. When we talk about shaitan, we talk about his plans as well. We talk about how shaitan deceives us, how he lies to us, and how he puts us into his, as we call it in Urdu, into his jal, into his web. The shaitan has many plans, and my brothers, he has been around way longer than any one of us. He has been way more than any human has ever been alive. Before Adam alayhi salam, shaitan was here way before all of them. And he has made many, many people go away from the path of Allah. So he knows all the tricks and all the things up his sleeve. He knows exactly our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows exactly when I am weak, at the time of Fajr when I wake up and shaitan tells me, it's okay, go back to sleep. You still have a few minutes, you can get some rest. You had a long day today, it's okay, you deserve some rest. So he knows every single one of our weaknesses and he knows how to get into us and how to make us go away from the path of Allah. My brothers, to understand the plans and the way that the shaitan deceives us, we need to look at the story of Barsisa. And I'm sure some of my brothers here have heard that story of Barsisa. My brothers, when I talk about Barsisa, do not only think about that person, but rather think about him as it's your own story. Think about it if this is happening to yourself. And then you can truly understand how shaitan will deceive you. Number one is that shaitan will not come to you straight. He will not come directly to you. Meaning he won't command you at first. He won't say, oh, such and such person, go and drink alcohol. Or such and such person, go and smoke cigarette. How does it all start? It starts with a waswasa. It starts with one thing saying that it's okay to do this. And don't worry, nothing will happen if you do this. And you can ask for repentance if you do this. So this is shaitan's number one plan. Is do not go directly, but rather go around the bushes and just convey the message, as we call it. Just put it out there. Just put it out there and leave it. Khlas. And he says, don't worry, I'm not going to repeat it again. You want to do this, go do this. But this is a thing you should do. If you should go and take one puff. You should go and talk to one girl. Don't worry, she's just a friend. You've just known her since your primary school or secondary school. Don't worry, it's just one song I want to listen to. So just something that shaitan wants to direct you towards. But he's not commanding you. Now when we look at the story of Barsisa, shaitan, how he deceived him and how he made him commit many, many sins. Now, Barsisa was an alim, he was a sheikh. He was a monk in his time, one of the awliya of Allah. And he would live inside a temple and he would do nothing else but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night. And in his town and in his village, he was known as a person who was a pious man, a righteous man. So there were two brothers in that time who wanted to go and do jihad fi sabilillah and wanted to go in the path of Allah. But they had a sister. They didn't have parents or any other family. And they had a sister. So they thought, who should we leave our sister to so that we can go and do jihad and come back later? And they said, there's no other better person than the great alim, the great Barsisa. And let's ask Barsisa. So they went to Barsisa and said, Ya Shaykh, we are doing such and such good thing and we want to leave our sister in your hands because we feel that she'll be safe in your hands. And Barsisa, he knew exactly what Shaytan's plan was here. He said, no, na'udhu billah, I do not want anything to do with this and go away from me. And the brothers were disappointed and they left. That night, now look at the plan the Shaytan made. That night, the Shaytan came to Barsisa and said, Ya Shaykh, what are you doing here? If the brothers were to leave her with anyone else, imagine what they could do to her. Imagine the way that they can do zulm upon her. And you are such a pious man, you can take care of her until they're back. It's not going to be that long. So now the Shaytan has turned into a Shaykh. He's given advice. This is what he does. He gives you advice and he shows that there's nothing wrong in this situation. Nothing can go wrong here. So then Barsisa comes into the plan of Shaytan and he says, okay, fair enough. The brothers want to go to jihad and I will take care of her. But the shart and the condition is that she will stay in the house behind and I will stay in the temple. And the brothers agreed. They said, fine, we're happy with that. Alhamdulillah. And then Barsisa would leave his food outside the temple and she would go all the way around the house to the temple, pick up the food and go back. And after some time when this happened, the great Shaytan, as you can call it, Sheikh Shaytan came to Barsisa and saying, Ya Sheikh, she walks around the temple and people can see her and this is not right. She's a woman, you don't want anyone to see her. So why don't you take the food and leave it outside her doorstep? Leave it outside her door. Do you see this plan that the Shaytan is doing? He doesn't want to barge in the door. He wants a slight peek in. He just wants a slight whisper into you. And this was his plan. The great Barsisa then would take the food to the door of the girl. And after some time, Shaytan again came and said, Ya Barsisa, it's been a while and she must be lonely in there. Why don't you talk to her? You don't need to see her, just a small conversation. How are you? How was your day? Just so she knows that there's someone here. She must be depressed. So the Shaykh again fell into the trap of the Shaytan. He thought he was doing something good here. And then he started to talk to her. And from that little conversation, went on to big, longer conversations. And after a long time, after a while, the great Shaykh, the alim, the righteous person, the pious person, the great Shaykh committed adultery, committed zina. This is the plans of Shaytan, my brothers. He didn't tell him to go and commit zina with her because her brothers are not here. He wanted to lure him into his plan. And slowly, slowly, he knew that he will fall into my trap. And he was a sheikh. He was a pious person. When we look into our lives, when we bring this same situation into our lives, how many times has Shaytan brought us into his plans? As I gave some examples earlier on, when he says it's just one puff of a cigarette, when he says it's just one puff of this new things that come out, the vapes. Or he says it's just, you're stealing one time, it's okay. This is Shaytan's plan, my brothers. He wants you to just think it's only once and nothing will happen from this. Or he makes you think that this is okay in the path of Allah. So the great Shaykh went after he committed zina. The girl then fell pregnant. She had a baby. And then Shaitan came. Now this is where Shaitan, he's not advising anymore. Once he has you under his fingers, once he has you in his jal and his web, then he doesn't whisper. He commands you then. And he commands you. So he tells the great Shaykh, he says, now Shaykh, the brothers will come back. People will find out where this baby came from. So you don't have any other choice but to kill this baby. So the Shaykh again fell into his trap and he went and killed the baby. And after some time, the great Shaykh, the Shaytan came and said, that do you think she will stay quiet after what you have done? She won't stay quiet. So you have to get rid of her as well. So Barsisa then committed another murder and killed her as well. So what's that now? Adultery and double homicide, double murder. A person who was such a pious man and he's committed one of the biggest two sins in the eyes of Allah. One of the biggest two sins. Why? It's because he thought he was doing something good. Again, my brothers, think about this in your own life. Do not only put your full focus on Barsisa here. Think about how Shaitan has deceived us in our situation when we have fell into the traps of Shaitan. And then after some times when the brothers came back after a very long time and they went straight to the house of Barsisa and they said, Ya Shaykh, where is our sister? We're back. And he said that, oh, she fell sick and she died of a disease and such thing. And he lied to the brothers. And the brothers would believe him. Why? It's because they thought he was a pious man. He's a man who would not lie, and she indeed did fall ill and died. And he showed them the qabr, the grave, and said, this is where she is lying. But that wasn't the right grave. And that next night, the brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the brothers a dream where they showed how she was killed and why was she was killed and where she was buried with the baby. And the brothers, when they woke up, they told each other, I seen such a weird dream. And they narrated their dream to the other brother. And the other brother said, that's weird, I had the exact same dream. And this could not be a coincidence. There must be a meaning behind this. So they went to the location that they seen in their dream. And when they dug up that grave, they found their sister and they found a baby. So they took Barsisa to the Qadi, the ruler of that time. And when they took him there and they said everything, and the Qadi then made the decision that his head will be obviously chopped, it will be qisas, and Barsisa will be killed. So they put him in a cell. And now Shaitan has come to Barsisa in the form of a man, in form of a human. And he came to Barsisa and he says, Ya Barsisa, I'm here to save you. And Barsisa said, how can you save me? He said, do one thing and I will save you and I will take you out of this position. And he said, I am the one who put you in this position and I'm the one who will save you as well. But you have to do one thing. And Barsisa now, he has no other choice. And he says, yes, I'll do anything. Name me that one thing. And he says, you have to bow down to me and do sajda to me. And Barsisa then bowed down and done sajda, and Shaitan said, khalas, my work is done here. I have came for what I achieved. And he said, thank you so much, that's me done. And he went away. And the next morning, Barsisa was killed. And what was his last act before he was killed? The shirk at the highest level. One of the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. He could have forgave him for the zina, for lying, for the murder. Nothing like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaitan made sure that he, before he dies, commits shirk at the highest level so that there's no way back for him. My brothers, this was a great alim, as I said. And he fell into the traps of Shaitan. Bring this into your own lives. How Shaitan will deceive us. How he tells us sweet, sweet things that we think he makes us dream. When we start a business, the Shaitan says, oh, it's okay to sell alcohol in your business. in your shop, it's okay to sell. When you start making profit, then it's okay. You'll take the haram things away from your shop, and then you will make it into halal shop. This is the whole plan of shaitan, my brothers. He will make you into a habit of selling your alcohol, and then once you make benefit and profit from that, you will not be able to stop. You will see the benefit and profit in that. So my brothers, be very careful in the plans of shaitan. He is after every single one of us, especially after the mu'min, after the Muslims. When I was younger, I would tell my grandfather, I would tell him that, why is it that the shaitan does not attack the non-Muslims and he attacks the Muslims the most? And he was confused at my question, so I explained it further on. And I said, the non-Muslims, mashallah, they act like Muslims when it comes to their dini world. They're clean. Their front yard and their houses and their back garden and their cars and everything is clean. And they give a lot of charity. They look after their people, the government, as in, for example, and many, many other things. And this is what Muslims are supposed to be. Everything that a Muslim is supposed to be, they have those characteristics. So how come shaitan is not attacking them? And my grandfather, so, alhamdulillah, he gave an amazing reply back. And he said that because they don't have iman, so shaitan knows that they will go to hellfire anyways. Alhamdulillah, every single one of us in this room, we have iman in our hearts. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is shaitan's plan, to attack us the most. Shaitan will attack an alim the most because of his knowledge, and also a Muslim. So we are always in the target of shaitan, my brothers. Be very careful. We all fall in the traps of shaitan every single day. If it's to do with fajr, if it's to do with any of other our sins, if it's leaving any of our salah, if we don't read our Quran, if we don't fast, there's many, many types. Shaitan knows us, he studies us every single day and night. He studies us. He knows our weaknesses. And the best form of protecting yourself from the traps of shaitan is shukr. When the more we do shukr, the more our iman becomes stronger, because we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything. So do shukr the most, say alhamdulillah throughout your day, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then protect you from the traps of shaitan. May Allah protect us all, and may Allah protect our future generations and our nasls to come, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We'll pray our sunans now, and after the sunans we'll have our khutbah, inshallah.